Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. Kicking off today with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, one topic that you and I have been discussing for quite a while this year is the whole buy the dip mentality when it comes to U.S. equity markets. And last week, I think, was another good example of short-term weakness. Really, it was just 2 days where the market started off the week down and then was pretty quickly bought back. And even this week, we've been seeing some just general strength in U.S. markets. Every time we get some sort of a news event, it seems to be a buy opportunity for the markets. What do you think? Is this buy the dip mentality still prevalent in your mind?
It is. As we've talked about, you know, it's almost the entire year. That has been the way to go this year, one obviously for many years, but in particular this year, as every single, you know, even little hiccup in the market has been a buying opportunity. And you know, our models, our indicators have supported that action as well as the charts. So yeah, we do continue to look for opportunities to buy the dip across a wide swath of market segments, globally and domestically. But last week, as you mentioned, you know, we had some news events, or Twitter in chief will send out a tweet, or we'll have another rumor on the trade wars, et cetera, et cetera. That'll send markets down. But I mean, how many more times can traders or investors get fooled by this stuff? I mean, you gotta either A, ignore the news, or B, use it to your advantage. And if you're looking to buy something in a dip and it sends things dipping, then pull the trigger. You know, you gotta keep buying it for now and take what the market gives you, because it's still overall a pretty constructive environment for continuing to buy the dips.
So it seems like we are seeing some better breadth in these recent moves higher, but we still see a lot of rotation within these markets. Anything that's catching your eye of what sectors are running or which sectors are selling off?
Well, we've had a number of sectors we've been on all year, which including technology. A lot of the interest rate sensitive sectors that ran for the first 6, 7, 8 months of the year have kind of been consolidating over the last couple months, like utilities, real estate, some of those areas of the market. The positive thing, as you mentioned, is that we're getting this rotation. It's not just those sectors, not just technology, as those interest rate sensitive sectors have settled down a little bit with yields, bond yields rising a little. We've seen other segments of the market step up, whether it's healthcare, consumer staples now breaking out, industrials, financials for now in the short term have been performing okay. So you have a wide range of markets, and even in the market caps, most of the year it's been all about the large caps. Now you're seeing in the near term, you're seeing small cap, mid caps outperform, even the broader indices outperform. And then you even look globally, you're seeing a lot of the global markets, whether it's emerging markets, some of the developed markets, even just the broad indices, all set up pretty constructively, either moving higher locally or moving higher to all-time highs. So a lot to be positive about. You certainly have to guard yourself against getting too positive, getting too out over your skis, so to speak, because you always have the potential in that kind of environment for some kind of a shock or a reset to shake some people out. But again, the foundation, whether it's the number of stocks, the breadth of stocks, or the breadth of stock segments that are continuing to advance and continue to be technically sound on the charts, that all paints a pretty strong foundation for the market, and one that is still supportive of buying the dips, as you said.
Now, seeing U.S. markets move up, even treasuries have been getting a buy, not so much yesterday, and also the precious metals have also been moving higher. Do you find it curious or at least a little bit worrisome that as we turn into 2020, that maybe too much money is getting put to work here at the year end?
I don't worry about it as long as the stuff that we're invested in is going up. I'll let people worry about it if they're holding stuff that's going down. That's not our MO. If stuff starts dropping in a meaningful way based on our metrics, we'll get out of it. So right now, for whatever reason, the markets are the market environment is attractive for a wide array of markets, whether it's, you know, in the intermediate term with stocks and I think precious metals as well, or kind of in the longer term, which I think bonds will still be a buy into the dip at some point coming up soon, even though they've been trending lower, yields been trending higher. I think there's going to be another decent run to the upside there. So I think there's the bottom line is there's a lot of opportunity right now and a lot of opportunities kind of lining up in the not too distant future.
Okay, so it is just, I guess, going to show just how much money is available for the markets in a wide range of markets, too, because, hey, it's been a pretty good year for a number of risk-on and also risk-off sectors. You mentioned the precious metals. We have talked about a fair bit this year, and that breakout finally has brought you more into that market. How are you playing the precious metals or precious metal stocks right now?
You know, the same thing, same strategy as the stock market. We're looking to buy the dips there as well. You know, we've had a nice consolidation in gold, silver, gold miners. Gold miners kind of perking up a little bit more than the metals are. So we're still, ideally, we're still waiting for another lower low in gold, possibly in silver as well. Certainly we'll be more aggressive if we get those levels that we want there and adding to our position. Same thing with the gold miners. I would say technically the gold miners have put themselves in a better position than the metals right now, with the action over the past week or so. So, they are looking a little bit stronger. I don't know. We're not chasing them higher right now. We think there's also a threat that they might, pull back to better prices as well. But for now, we have a smallish position in them. But intermediate term, they still look good. We're still looking to add to that position and don't see any reason to think that that move, that breakout you talked about over the last year ago or whatever, that won't continue, going forward in the intermediate to longer term.
Okay, so still encouraged when it comes to precious metals. One other market that I find curious is the currency market when it deals with the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar has been trending a little bit lower, at least in the short term, over the last couple months. It's still arguably within this uptrend that it has been in ever since 2018, but boy, oh boy, it's testing out that lower level. What do you think about the U.S. dollar? Could we see a lower dollar come 2020?
I can't make a forecast for what it's going to do next year. I'll tell you what it looks like right now. We did break that intermediate term trend line back in October, which had supported it basically for the last almost 2 years. So I'd say in the intermediate term, we're more neutral. In the short term, that's certainly open further downside further downside potential in the near term before it rights itself. So I would say right now I'd be looking at a downside potential from 95.5 to 96 or so, and certainly have a plenty of resistance just above the current prices in the dollar index up around 98 or so. So right now I'd say, I guess in the near term, the path of least resistance is probably to the downside in the dollar.
Now, I know we talk a lot about U.S. markets, but we have also touched on these international markets that are also moving higher, some of them breaking to some new highs or at least 52-week highs. What about that scenario, too? Money flowing into markets around the world, not just in the U.S.?
Yeah, a lot of the technical pictures are really getting a little bit brighter around the world in some of those global markets that have been lagging the U.S. certainly for a long time. Emerging markets, we've been all over Brazil and Russia for a while now, as far as some of those bigger emerging markets are concerned. We're also seeing some of the smaller emergings like Taiwan breaking out to multi-decade highs. That might be the best looking chart in the world right now. But you also have, some of the developed markets, even in Europe, of all places, which we've pretty much been avoiding for a decade or so. Some of those core European markets are perking up, at least in the near term. There'll probably be selling opportunities after the run is over. But you're looking at Germany and France making nice runs. We also like, even for the longer term, some of those northern European countries like Sweden, Switzerland, Netherlands breaking out to all-time highs. So those look attractive. And even breaking down even the broad international market indices that are easily accessible, easily investable, something like the EAFE and the all-country ex-US markets, the global Dow. These are all setting up nicely right now, putting in nice tight consolidations, bull flags, whatever you want to say, setting up for another run higher. So, yeah, like you said, almost everywhere you look around the world, you're seeing a broadening window of opportunity for a lot of these markets, not just the U.S. anymore, but plenty of opportunities out there if you know where to look.
All right, Dana, we're going to wrap it up. I think it's a very interesting end to the year where we are seeing a lot of money available for investors to inject in the markets and hitting, again, a wide range of markets, and now not just U.S. equities either. Dana, great chatting with you. Everyone, click those links below. They will lead you to a couple of Dana's sites, a subscription site, and a free blog. Very well worth your time for the active investors. Dana, thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Corey.